I said, "Sure, stick with me, kid." And she said, "Where is it?" Well, I wouldn't show it to her. And then this fellow come up to her and said, "Are you dancing this one?" And she said, "Sure I am. This bird don't dance." Well, he was a sergeant, the biggest one I ever seen. Say, he was like that fellow in Arkansas that had some trouble with a nigger, and a friend said to him, "Well, I hear you killed a nigger yesterday." And he said, "It weighed 200 pounds, like a bear." He took the lurching of the train limberly, and Cadet Lowe said, "For Christ's sake." "Sure," agreed the other. "She won't hurt you, though I done tried it. My dog won't drink none of it, of course, but then he got bad ways hanging around Brigade HQ. He's the one trophy of the war I got, something that wasn't never bawled out by a shaved tail for not salutin'. Say, would you kind of like to take a little something to keep off the soniferous dews of this goddamn country? The honor's all mine, and you won't mind it much at the first two drinks. Makes me homesick like a garage. Ever work in a garage?" Sitting on the floor between two seats was Yap Hank's traveling companion, trying to ignite a splayed and sodden cigar. "Like devastated France," thought Cadet Lowe, swimming his memory through the adenoidal reminiscences of Captain Blythe, an RAF pilot delegated to temporarily reinforce their democracy. "My poor soldier," said his friend tearfully, "all alone in no man's land and no matches. Ain't war hell, I ask you." He tried to push the other over with his leg. Then he fell to kicking him slowly. "Move over, you ancient mariner. Move over, you goddamn bastard." "Alas, poor jerks or something. I seen that in a play, see? Good line. Come on, come on. Here's General Pershing coming to have a drink with the poor soldiers." He addressed Cadet Lowe. "Look at him. Ain't he sodden in depravity?" "Battle of Cognac," the man on the floor muttered. 10 men killed, maybe 15, maybe 100. Poor children at home saying, "Alice, where art thou?" "Yeah, Alice, where the hell are you?" "That other bottle, what in the hell have you done with it? Keeping it to swim in it when you get home?" The man on the floor, weeping, said, "You wrong me as ever man wronged. Accuse me of hiding mortgage on house? Then take this soul and body, take all. Ravish me, big boy. Ravish a bottle of vinegar juice out of you, anyway," the other muttered, busy beneath the seat. He rose triumphant, clutching a fresh bottle. "Hark! The sound of battle and the lafting horses draw near. But shall they dull this poor unworthy head? No. But I would like to have seen one of them laughing horses. Must have been lady horses altogether, you extreme highness." With ceremony extending the bottle, "Will you be kind enough to kindly consent to honor these kind but unworthy strangers in a foreign land?" Cadet Lowe accepted the bottle, drank briefly, gagged, and spat his drink. The other supporting him massaged his back. "Come on, come on. They don't nothing taste that bad." Kindly cupping Lowe's opposite shoulder in his palm, he forced the bottle mouthward again. Lowe released the bottle, defending himself. "Try again. I've got you. Drink it now." "Jesus Christ," said Cadet Lowe, averting his head. Passengers were interested, and Yap Hank soothed him. "Now, now. They won't nothing hurt you. You're among friends. Us soldiers got to stick together in a foreign country like this. Come on. Drink her down. She ain't worth nothing or no one spit on his legs like that." "Hell, man, I can't drink it."